Well, trying to follow the Lord here this morning just a bit. Hear the mind of the Father. Chad kind of got me stirred up about money there, thinking someday I'll come back and we'll minister just about finances. It's one of those areas that I've had to fight a lot of personal battles on. And I'm going to be talking about the benefits of those personal battles here in just a bit. But in the course of doing that, I've learned a lot of lessons, learned a lot of things, and it's become, whereas I would have said in my initial upbringing in life, I came from a very poor background. Even the poor folks called us poor. And it was rough, not going to lie to you. And I've gone through winters with just two shirts to my name. And remember we were scrounging, trying to have enough to eat. There were some tough days. And hard economic times. And out of that, however, that which I would have considered a weakness has, at least in terms of spiritual understanding, has become a strength. I understand the mind of the Lord now more about finances than I ever have, and it's gradually becoming something that the Lord has taught us, and we're able to share with other people now the hard lessons we've learned about the mind of the Lord on this. The other thing. All right, now, so God speaks to Jeremiah, and he says to him this particular statement. He said, all right, before you were ever a gleam in your mama's eye, I already knew everything about you.
Yeah.
Now, how is it that God was thinking of us? Later on in Jeremiah, he says, now, I know the thoughts and the plans I've had for you. Mm-hmm. Now, he's speaking to the nation of Israel at that point in time, speaking, I know the thoughts. One version says, I know the plans I've made for you. So when did he make these plans?
Long time before.
Did you see this in your life, that God made plans for you before you were born, that he thought thoughts about you, and that he put together a master plan for you to be a part of? Now, how is it that he could think of this master plan for you? Well, it's not really that difficult. You see, when God made the earth, he not only saw you, but he saw the whole history of the planet. It's like the author, like you understanding what you're going to put in a book, Bill.
That's right.
It's kind of like knowing, yeah. And you got an outline, and you know how this book's going to turn out. You got a pretty good idea. In fact, you probably have been sometimes written the last chapter first, almost.
That's right, sometimes.
And you already know how it is. Jesus, he does the same thing. He wrote Revelation right along there with everything else. But because he understands that the fall of man was not a surprise. Adam's sin, when he messed up and he chose the flesh rather than to hear the voice of God and to listen and obey his father and to trust him completely. He listened to Eve telling, well, just, hey, the snake said this is really good stuff. He bought into that lie. He sinned and he lost his special privilege of sonship. But now, what she read a while ago, that we have been predestined, means pre-planned, pre-ordered by God to go back into the place of sonship and be restored through Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you read?
Yes, it is.
So that as Jesus paid the price, this full picture of restoration begins to come back in place. Now, I wish I had time to talk about this because I love talking about the restoration of the earth. I got news for you. The earth, when in Romans chapter 8, when he talks about the earth groaning for the restoration of the sons of God, he's not just talking about the idea that the earth is really looking forward to everybody coming back into their spiritual position. But you see, the earth plays a part in this role. This was the environment that God gave us not only to provide for us, but for us to rule over. And to bring order to the earth.
Right.
So the earth is crying out in its own way, first of all, that we would restore order through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now listen, I don't want to go here and mess up anybody's theology, but if you're thinking you're going to wait on Jesus to come any day so he can get us out of here and fix us, you're kind of messing up in your head. Because you've got to understand, he's not coming after little scared little rabbits or looking for an escape route here. He's coming after sons of God who rule and reign in the earth. Now, you might as well go ahead and say, alcoholism, you're going to get under my feet. Drug addiction, you're going to get under my feet. Poverty, you're going to get under my feet. Sickness, you're going to have to get under my feet. Because God has called you to be an overcomer and to establish some things in the earth.
Yes.
But it's important that you get saved and you get your own life in order because you've got generations behind you. How many got children and grandchildren here in this room? Oh, a lot of them. You're going to have to move up a little thing because your influence is still going to be passed down to the next generation and to the next generation.
Preach.
It's absolutely critical. It's not just about you. It's not just about your little, oh, I'm having such a hard time mode.
That's why I said on earth as it is in heaven.
Just as it is in heaven. Well, the point about all of this is that God has got a purpose. So when He positions you in the earth, His purpose for you aligns with His purpose for the restoration of the earth. So then, each one of us then have an important ingredient to play in God's great plan.
Amen.
Bill does a fantastic teaching, by the way, on the multiplicity of the gifts and how they all contribute and so forth and things. And it's so in line with this, the understanding of the purposes of God. It's not just the function of those gifts that are important. It means then that without them, we're somehow whipping along like a guy with a bad leg.
That's right.
And it's not surprising because somebody's missing in the equation. You're not doing your part. You're not fulfilling what God has called you to do. Maybe I'm not. And in which case then, the body hurts and is weak and anemic because God is looking for a completeness or perfection. Somebody used the word, we were using the word holy. Somebody give me a synonym for the word holy. Synonym, a word that means something similar. Another word that means the same thing, but it's a different word.
Christ.
Okay, could be. Uh-huh. What else?
Perfect.
Huh?
Perfect.
That's the one I was looking for. Actually, I didn't expect anybody to come up with. Oh, yeah. She's on her game today. Okay. All the words you could come up with would probably be a great one. But that's the one that was a little unusual. That was the reason I was looking for it. It was a synonym that meant it's perfection. Now, it's not perfection. We think of perfection as meaning...
without flaw.
We got it all lined up. I mean, we got our stuff together. That's the reason none of us are perfect. That's, you know, we don't ever have our stuff together. If we did, we forgot where we put it. Okay.
Perfectly messed up.
Yeah, it's all a world, just one gooped up mess after another. I had one guy says, well, you know, I'm really looking for a church that's really got it in order. And I'm like, I said, as soon as you show up there, then
it's going to be out of order.
You're about to mess up the whole world.
Yeah.
You arrive. Well, the idea of perfection is not a symbolism of complete order, but it means without need. That's another issue. Meaning then that God is holy because, another word, is complete. He does not need anyone or anything to be who He is. Whereas we are absolutely overwhelmed with needs, God has no need. And in the Spirit of God, when He pulls you into His purpose and to His plan, it's the only place you're going to begin to walk in a place where you sense the grace. Alton, you gave us that word grace a moment ago. The grace is the ability and the power of God coming into to fill up the voids in our life. So suddenly I was missing a bad leg, Jesus becomes my crutch. He becomes my leg. Whatever it is I'm needing that I'm inadequate, He becomes adequacy for me.
Yes.
He fills in those spots. You said He was your father and your mother. That's exactly what God does. You don't have a mother, He becomes your mother. You don't have a father, He becomes your father. Yes. You don't have a job, He becomes your provision.
Yes.
He is, that's what in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh was a symbol of God is my provision. Jehovah Rapha, He is my healer.
Yes.
Jehovah Shammah, he is my ever-present help in my time of trouble. You see, he was those things. As people got the revelation, they would apply that name to him, because in every situation they saw him, then is exactly what they needed for that moment. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
He becomes what we need.
Thank you, Lord.
Then in those moments. Well, the purposes of God. So God has a plan of restoration of the earth, and our individual gifts, what He's doing in our lives, is a part of that plan. We become a part of God's plan then. Now, God's purposes then for your life, for our lives, are linked to the purposes in the earth. How many of you know Romans 8:28? Who knows Romans 8:28 by heart? Anybody can quote it? Romans 8:28. Who would know? I bet if I started, somebody said, "For all things
works together for the good of the man, those who love him."
Work together for the good of those who love him, and to those who are
called
according to what?
His purpose.
His purpose. Hold it a minute. I thought it was about my purpose. But I'm called
to his
purpose. So that all of the things in my life that he is ordering, that he's working, then is designed to line up with his purpose. Not with my purpose. My purpose then is lost into his purpose. Now that's a pretty important principle there.
That's good.
Because maybe the great challenge of our lives is learning to give up our purpose that we form in our own minds
for his,
to the submission of his purpose.
That's good.
Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here be honest enough with me to admit that you've struggled with the will of God in your own life before?
Oh, yeah.
How many men said, "I've been afraid to let God really have the steering wheel"?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a very basic issue, guys. Until we settle this issue, all other things struggle. Don't tell me about your money. Don't tell me about your marriage. Don't tell me about your struggles with addictions or anything else like that. You're wasting your time. Now, I appreciate CR and know what it does in terms of what a great program. But if you don't deal with this one issue, you can get classes until the books fall apart from, just rot.
Come on.
It won't matter. You're going to have to settle this issue in your mind. Who is going to be in charge of this book? Who's going to run? Who's going to drive my car? And what you're going to discover is, most of us like for Jesus to ride with us. We just don't want him to drive.
Preach.
We want to make sure he's in the car. We want to make sure he brings his blessings with him. Make sure he brings his healing with him. Make sure he got all the stuff we need for the picnic. But he don't want him driving.
That's right.
Are we hearing me?
Yeah.
Are we on the same page? Y'all look at me like, you know, he done gone to missing now.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Well, notice that song, Carrie's song of Jesus, take the wheel. Well, that sounds good when we're in crisis. That's what we all pray.
Yeah.
But who's going to let him take the wheel all the time?
That's it.
Listen, I know this one. I got this one down pat. This is the testimony of my life, of a young man who loved God, who wanted God, but who struggled with God, who wars with God. If you haven't been there and been honest enough with yourself and to look in the mirror and say, "I love you, but I'm afraid of you." Or, "I love you, but I'm angry with you." "I love you, but I don't trust you completely." And until you can get that at that place and get honest, you're not there yet. Coming to a place where the purposes of God, your purpose and God's purpose begin to run head to head. Instead of merging into one another and becoming a life-fulfilling dream of happiness and fulfillment, they become a war that will never cease. And there's a turbulence going on inside of me because I had just enough religion that I couldn't sin and enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's a terrible place, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I couldn't live for God and enjoy it either.
Yeah, it's called misery.
That is a that's the most miserable place in the world.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's not the guy that's on drugs, a guy that's a great alcoholic, having fun at the party. He's not the guy that's promised. The guy that's on sitting on top of the fence.
That's right.
That is the most miserable place in the world because he hits every post.
Oh my.
Riding the fence, you hit every post. It's just not any fun at all. And you have to decide at some point in time, I'm going to let you work your purposes in me. One of the things I knew, that if I gave God full control of my life, I knew it from early age, you're going to fool around and want me to preach, aren't you? I know it.
You can fool around.
Yeah.
You are going to want me to preach. And I ain't going there. You see, I was raised poor boy, so I said preachers are poor, and I had that pretty close down. But I said preachers are poor, and I'm going to make a lot of money in my life, and so the two just does not meet. And you see, this thing with money has been a war in my life my whole life. And that's one of the issues God has to settle. Letting God work with purposes, but there come a point and a place where I finally said, I got miserable enough to say, I can't live life without your purpose and your will. You will not leave me alone. I'm going to have to let you have the dress to your will. And I'm going to get in the back seat. I may not like it, but I'm going to get in the back seat. Now, here's the point. Part of the journey is not just, first of all, it's making the decision to let God's purpose reign in you. But then you begin to find joy in the journey.
Amen.
Most of us don't always start off with full trust and full no fear and no worries and no concerns. You grow into a place of trusting. You ever had somebody you learned that you wasn't really sure about them, you developed friendship with them, but over time you discover they were the best friend you had and they would never let you down? I mean, you could count on them and you could trust them completely.
Yes.
You're going to deal drugs, you better know who you can trust.
Sure.
No matter what you do, you better know who you can trust. And I've run across some people that I knew were absolutely trustworthy. I knew their heart. I knew what they would do. It doesn't matter what anybody told me about them. I know better than that. I know them. No, it wouldn't happen. That's how I grew to know the Lord. When I knew that His purposes were trustworthy, and that His purposes for me were designed so that I would be happy and fulfilled in life, and that what I was choosing for myself was bringing me destruction. Anybody here ever made a choice for yourself? It didn't turn out real good.
That's right.
Now, you know the saying everybody says, so how'd that work out for you? You ever picked up somebody? You ever got a relationship that you thought, oh, I know this may not be, I didn't pray over, but I really think this is going to be good. And you know, my best opinion is this is going to work out good. It didn't work out good. Probably everybody in this room at some time or other done that. Now, my saying to you is that when you make a purpose for yourself, then you're likely to find yourself reaping the rewards of your own decision-making. But when you allow God's purposes to begin to work in you, you discover that you give your purpose to Him, you let it merge into His purposes, and He will begin to bring to pass all the stuff in your life. there's a, here's part of this that I want to mention. Giving up our purpose to embrace His leads us to the second thing, third thing really, which is our experiences in life are all linked to the purposes of God for us. Now this is an important principle. How many of you have seen some stuff going in your life and you wondered, I don't understand why this happened. Yeah. I don't know why it went that way. I've got a number of those things. Why did it happen that way? Some of the greatest problems and troubles that you've had, though you wouldn't have chosen it for anything in the world, turn out to become some of the greatest blessings of your life. Mm-hmm. Glenda and I, when we left the LJ Church, which has now been 8 years ago this spring, seemed like a, does seem like a day in one way, it seemed like eternity in the other. But it was 3-4 years into the process, things didn't go the way we thought they were going to go. I mean, we thought we was taking all these giant steps forward, and we just turned out, and it became a train wreck, or seemingly so. Everything we touched just turned to mud. I lost money in bucketfuls. I mean, if I had sat down on a porch and gotten a rocking chair, I could have lost money that day. I mean, you just sit down, and it was just taking our resources, everything. Well, we were 3-4 years down the road, but gradually, I remember asking her one day, I said, darling, I was just sitting here thinking. I remember the days we used to pull up from a church. I had 300 or 400 people there. We had a nice congregation. The bills were paid. We were doing well. I lived in a big log house in LJ. I pulled up in front of the church, and several guys, just because they loved us and wanted to serve us, would run out there and open her car door and run around and say, Pastor, let me park your car for you. Come on, get out of there. I'll park it and pull up, park it, cars. Carry my briefcase, treat me like a king. We were sitting there in a travel trailer, living in a travel trailer in Trashworth, and I looked at her and I said, would you go back? She looked at it and said, not for $1 million. The change in her heart of all the hard things, through the challenges we faced, had changed us. I don't want to be anybody's king.
Come on.
And I don't want them seeing me that way. I want them to see Jesus as their king.
Yes.
The purposes of God.
Thank you,
Lord. Most of you know that both Glenn and I have had previous marriages. I don't know how many other people in the room have been through that tragedy, but I will tell you that I was married 16 years the first time, and it was about 6 or 8 years too long. I went through hell. One of the reasons that it drug out as long as it did, because I refused to go away. I didn't want to give up on it. I kept dragging it up. I kept insisting that it stay there. I could not imagine in my mind that I was going to be a divorcee. I could not envision how being a divorcee could not completely ruin every purpose God had for my life. I don't know if anybody's ever been here, couldn't imagine this. But I saw everything being lost. I saw every purpose, every dream I had for myself going down the tube. And I remember one time I was sitting in the Mount Vernon Church of God on a Sunday night, and the Holy Spirit came, and I was just going through a really, really hard time. And the Holy Spirit came to me and said, son, I know this is painful, but I'm going to tell you, there's life after this. And at that moment, I couldn't imagine it. I just couldn't imagine it. I didn't see a future ahead of me. I didn't see a purpose ahead of me. But But the day started changing when a few years later, I decided I'm going to get up and I'm going to go on with God and I'm going to do what God called me to do. And I went in a Sunday school class where it was me and 14 women.
Pretty good.
It wasn't the most comfortable environment. There was a lot of estrogen in there. I'm not going to lie to you. But they said when I come back the second week, I said, hey, 14-1, I kind of like the odds here, you know.
And I was not there.
Yeah, she wasn't.
I was not there.
But a year later, I'm teaching that Sunday school class. And one day I look up, and I've got the second largest Sunday school class in the whole church.
My parents?
My parents.
Yeah.
About 80 people come in there every week, broken, hurting, struggling. And one day I'm ministering to those people, and I'm in the middle of teaching. And the Holy Spirit sat in that room and said, son, do you understand now? You wouldn't have a thing in the world to say that these people need if you hadn't been here.
Sorry.
Amen.
I have to don't look back at the hard times you had and bemoan them. Use them as stepping stones to get on top of and believe that God's going to take them and He's going to reshape them and He's going to make them your testimony.
Yes.
That when you speak to other men's lives, it'll be power. There'll be purpose in it. You'll realize God had a purpose.
Yes.
Joseph said when his brothers sold him into slavery and put him into prison, you meant it to hurt me, but God meant it for good.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And when God has a purpose in your life, there's not one thing that people can do to put you down. They're not big enough to stop the purposes of God. Don't let words bother you. Don't let people, what people talking about, when they talking about me,
come on.
Oh my God, have mercy.
Preach.
You ought to say, I don't like what they're saying, but I love their choice of subjects.
Yeah. Yes.
Quit worrying about other people. They ain't got any power over you unless you give it to them.
Yes, that's good.
They have no power. They have no ability. They can't take you up, and they can't take you down. Thank God.
Amen.
Get on top of that and begin to say, God's got a purpose in my life.
Yes, He did.
And those purposes have power to them. There's just a love in my heart for you this morning. I want to just say to you, I want to just lift you up and encourage you and say to you, stop listening to that stuff the devil's feeding you and beating you up with. All the mistakes you made, all the times it hadn't worked right and you don't believe. And it's time to get up and believe God. The second thing, it's time to yield your purpose to the purpose of the Father. Just take it in your head and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. This is the key. When you turn that lock of giving your purposes to the Father, when you turn that key, the Spirit of God will begin to come in, begin to work in your life in a powerful way. You're going to discover the Holy Spirit is going to want control. If you've been seeking and praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first question He's going to ask when He arrives is, give me the key. I'm going to drive. I want control. Not to get off on another theological issue, but I'm going to say other people always wondered, what about the speaking in tongues thing? Anybody here ever had questions about that besides me and been through? What about the speaking in tongues thing? You know what that's about? James wrote about it really very clearly. And he said, he wrote about it and he said, for the tongue is a deadly member. And he uses the expression, who can control it? The spirit inside of a man controls the tongue. Jesus made the statement from the abundance, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It'll release words. So the issue of the tongue, Isaiah said, for with stammering lips and other tongues, I'll speak to this people. I'll speak. The goal is, idea is about yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Because it's the only reason it's important at all, at least at that initial stage, is it becomes simple to you to let you know that the Holy Spirit's trying to take over my tongue, and He's also trying to take over my, more importantly, He's trying to take over my life. That's all it is to it. He's trying to take over my life. And our choice is to let that purpose of God begin to flow in us. Begin to flow in us. Hallelujah. 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 Purposes of God. Let's just bow our heads and pray for just a moment. Father, we just worship You, Holy Spirit. I give You glory today. I just thank You today because You're so big and You're so mighty. You're so wonderful. We just minister to You today. Now You flow into this room, Holy Spirit of God. Demonstrate Your lordship. For You said where Your Spirit is, You're the Lord. And where the Spirit is the Lord, You're there. And Your presence is in this room. Your presence is in this room. We thank You and praise You for it. Jesus, mighty name. Now I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you in this room are still in the middle of the battle of letting God have the steering wheel? You be open enough with me? How many of you? Several? Okay. If that's you, whether you did or did not raise your hand, I want you just to stand up right where you're about to raise your chair. Just stand up. Hey, let's pray together. Just hear what. I'm going to ask you to. As we pray, I'm going to ask you this question. So, why is this hard? And I'm going to suggest that the answer, 99% of the time, is I don't trust Him yet. I don't really trust Him. I don't believe He has got good things for me. I believe I'd make a better decision for my life than He can. Other people have hurt me, and I assume that God will too. But it's yielding to God that gives you the safest place in the world. It's when you choose to let the Lord have full control. All right. Now I'm going to ask you to do one other thing. There is a point place in the battle for when somebody sticks a gun at you and says freezes, what are you supposed to do? You throw your hands up and you say, I surrender. I surrender. Now, if you're ready this morning, as we're praying, I want you to lift your hands and begin to say, Father, I surrender. Lord, right now as we're praying, let the spirit of trust begin to come into this room. trusts, that gives us grace to be able to yield to you the confidence of knowing that my Heavenly Father loves me more than I love myself. He has a greater purpose for me than I have for myself. He's got a greater plan for my life than I have for myself. And I choose today to climb over fears, lies, doubts. And I choose today to surrender to you. Father, I'm going to give you the reins. I'm going to give you the steering wheel of my life. Today it belongs to you.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to challenge you right now. Just slip your hands up and begin to say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender. I'm going to give you the leadership now. Thank you for it, Father.
I heard the Lord say while you were praying that there's more than one person in the room that can't figure out how to trust God because of the pain. Because somebody gave you misinformation that if you love and know the Lord, you'll never have pain. But that's not the truth. The truth is that pain will drive us to God. Pain is an open door to get to Him. Mm-hmm. He said, I want you to use your pain as a tool to rebuild. Your pain will drive you the opposite direction from me, says the Lord. Your pain will cause you to grab hold of or a substitute for me. But he says, I know all about pain. I know all about disappointment. I know all about hurt. I know all about anger. I know all about lack. And I know all about disappointment. He said, you could just grab my hand today. Grab my hand. I will walk you through every one of those things. And then you become dependent on me and not dependent on the other things that drive you to the CR classes. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
That's good.
All you got to do is reach today. Just reach. Just hold out your hand and reach. And he's going to grab it.
Yes.
I'll walk you through. Thank you.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for these that are reaching out to you today. In the way they can. They're reaching out. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray that the grace and the power of the Spirit will go far.
Cause us to reach our
God. I pray against the spirit of disappointment that has been so screaming at her and Lord
Jesus.
It seems like she's in a dark room and she knows there's a door somewhere that she doesn't know how to get out. And until she opens that door, she can't see the light. But Father, you said you are the door. You are the door. And the seeking of you. Light coming in. The room is being abandoned. And the voices of disappointment are ceasing to and I call it the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Powerful anointing he's used in her life. And I thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you. Powerful work in Jesus' name. Thank you. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you're going to bless it. You're going to use it. You're going to put your anointing upon it. Fill him with the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Baptize him in
you.
Build him in hope. Make a student of your word. That he'll press into you. Press into you. Thank you for that. Jesus. Jesus, mighty God. Lord, I'm going
to walk into the
dream. Thank you,
Jesus.
Pray for the mind of the Holy Spirit. Lord, she loves you. I feel it in her life. She loves you. But it felt like such an uphill journey. It is like sometimes you took a step forward, two steps, see the movement. In the name of Jesus, I speak and declare that the Word of God is powerful and rich and mighty in her life. And Lord, I believe you're going to give grace to help and strength, might and release, and she's going to know the joy she's never known in the Spirit of God. The joy of serving you and trusting you completely in Jesus' name. Jesus, my name. Lord, I pray, my sister, that you're going to do a great work in her life. She doesn't see how sometimes it can all work. But what she can't see, you can see. What she can't envision right now, you've got a great power for her, and you've already thought it all out. And I declare in the name of Jesus, strong.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
The devil cannot put a period behind what's going on in your life because you've declared a great hope of you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll do the work that nobody else can do. And Lord, I believe we're going to watch a change. We're going to watch the change. We're going to watch the Holy Spirit like watching a field, a garden grow up this time of year. We're seeing things. We don't see it change every day. We can't tell overnight how much it moved, but it's changing. It's changing. And I speak and declare that in the spirit realm. Shackles are being broken, chains coming unloose. Every stronghold be removed. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's just minister to them for a few moments.
Thank you.